So, Lord Jesus, we do just lift up your name this morning. We thank you that you are the one who gave his life for us, and now your Father is highly exalted, you giving you the name above all names. We just lift you up this morning in our praise, and Lord, just pray that you will meet us here today. Even as we spend this time in worship of you and as we come to your word, just meet us and speak to our hearts today, we pray. In your name, amen. You may be seated. We want to turn our attention now to God's Word, and want to begin this morning, before we open up the text together, just by asking, has anyone ever been on a team before? Have you ever, like, played a sport, been a part of a team? Wow, I was just going to say for a second, there's, like, nobody in here. That's really depressing. Anyone ever coached a team before? You guys ever have coached? Yeah, okay, some of the parents here are going, yeah, I kind of got roped into that, right, when my kids showed up to play something. You know, this year I had, the joy and sometimes stress of being able to coach two of my son's soccer teams. It was ended up with a lot of fun in the end. Both Max's team and Noah's team I got to coach this year. One I had planned, one I hadn't. But it's a great thing as you go through the course of a season and just see how the team comes together over time. Right? I mean, you have all these people and all these different personalities at the start of the season, all doing their own thing, all going their own way. And then by the end of the season, through a lot of training, a lot of games, playing together, learning each other's names, finally, you get this group of guys coming together as a team. And it's such a cool thing to see as they actually move around the field in a way that, you know, looks like it actually almost makes sense. Like, this is pretty exciting. And so we had a great season, again, of just seeing how the team gelled together. And, you know, as I was reflecting on that, because the season came to a close yesterday, it was our final games of soccer yesterday, and there's a part of me that's breathing a huge sigh of relief right now, going, okay, Saturday morning and afternoon is now freed up. That's really nice. But there's a part of me that's sad as well, just knowing how much I'm going to miss being able to hang out with the kids and just be able to see their joy and the fun they get to have when we get together. But as I was reflecting on, you know, soccer season coming to a close, it got me thinking, because this week, the text we're going to be looking at, Paul has a lot to say about how the body functions together and the importance of the body of Christ, which is the church, the importance of how we function together if we are going to stay on a path of being able to follow Jesus with our life, like Adriana made a statement today that she is doing. The body plays a very important role in that. And there's a lot of things, you know, you think about teams and all the things about teamwork and how you have to build each other up and strengthen each other and all these different things you have to do. There's a lot of parallels between that and what we see Paul encouraging us to do as the body of Christ. And as we look at the text today, one of the pieces that we're going to pick up on is the fact that when Paul talks about what it means to live life and to live life as a follower of Jesus, he really likens it many times to an athletic competition. It's like running the race, right? It's like striving forward. And actually, you heard it in Adriana's favorite verse this morning from Hebrews, right? Pressing on and throwing off everything that hinders us, pressing on towards the goal. Get to the end. Make it to the end of the race. And that's a huge part of the image that we pick up today as we read the text from Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. This is part of our series this fall that we've been doing called Back to Basics. And we've been keeping it really basic to begin. In that we've been talking all about Jesus. Jesus is the point of basically everything we do here as a church, is to help people encounter the living, risen Jesus Christ. Not just get another philosophy for life, not just learn a new set of rules of how we have to live or a new religious philosophy or something like that, but actually to encounter the person, the living, resurrected person, Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. And we do that because Jesus, as we found out earlier in Colossians, is the name above all other names. He is the one who has supremacy above all things. He is both the king over creation, all the created order, as well as new creation, everything that's being made new again. He is the king over all those things. He's even the king over the church. He's the head over all these things. So then he really is the one who is worthy of our lives. And so we've been talking about the person of Jesus. And what we're going to be looking at today is how do we carry on in a life that follows after Jesus, especially when there's so many things that can come up and knock us off the path. How do we finish the race well? How do we get to the end of the season going, we did it? We won. How do we have that feeling of making it all the way to the end? And Paul is very concerned about this for the Colossian church, and so he writes them about it. He talks to them about it in his letter that he wrote to them. And so we're going to be reading from Colossians 2, 1 to 7, like I said this morning. And just before we open that up, I'm just going to pray and ask God to speak to us through his word so that we would hear from him this morning as we take this time together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that you've given to us, this word that testifies of Jesus and how he has become king over the world, king over all things. We thank you, Lord, that we get to learn about him, but more than that we get to meet with him. And so we pray, Lord, that as we open up your word today, we would encounter the risen Jesus, that we would experience new life in him, that we would experience strength and encouragement in him. God, we pray that no matter where we're coming from this morning, you would meet with us here. And I pray, Lord, that you would just open up our eyes to see what you want us to see today in these words that have been written so long ago. That you would open up our ears to hear the whispering of your Holy Spirit to each one of us. That you would open up our minds to understand the mystery that is Christ. And you would open up our hearts to respond to you in whatever way it is you want us to respond to you today. And so, Lord, we just pray your words are heard here this morning and not mine. And we ask it in Jesus' good name. Amen. Well, let's read together Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, and see these words that Paul writes. And just to remind you, this is coming sort of at the tail end of Paul's opening statements to them. He starts off with just some greetings, and then he moves into a time of thanks for the church and then a prayer for the church. So this is kind of following right at the tail end of that. And the last couple of verses we're going to read today, 6 and 7, are really a transitional point and almost a thesis for what he wants to see happen for the rest of his letter to the Colossians. So just to keep that in mind as we read this together this morning. Colossians chapter 2, 1 to 7. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. All right, a couple things just to note. And, you know, maybe you just want to take a moment and think about what was a word or phrase that stood out to you as we read that this morning. Don't have to yell it out, but just for you. If you have a pen and paper, you can write it down. Just something that stands out to you from the text. One of the things when I was reading this through this week that stood out to me was in verse 1 when Paul says, I am contending for you. I'm contending for you and the church in Laodicea and even all those who haven't met me yet, which incidentally probably includes us, I suppose. He's contending for them. And this is partly where we get this idea of an athletic metaphor that Paul's talking about. Right? He's battling. He's in the struggle of the athletic competition. He's contending for the church. And so even as we go through this message today, we're going to kind of look at it with a little bit of that lens of what it means to be a part of, you know, this competition that we're in, this race of life that we're a part of. And for Paul, the event of the Christian life is really no different than what we do in the events of a lot of other things in life. It requires training, it requires discipline, it requires all kinds of different things that we need to have in place in order to be successful and finish well. And so for him, he talks here about a few of the important pieces he sees that need to be in place for us to be able to run well to the end, to make it all the way. And so a couple pieces that he mentions, the first one, well, really they're both rooted in the idea of the team, the body of Christ, the importance of living united. Now, you remember in verse 2 and 3, this is what he said. We'll just reread verse 2 and 3. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united just hold that because that's a big word here, in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, united is a huge word in this text. And really, when you think about a team and playing together as a part of a team, unity on the team is pretty important. If a team is not working together in harmony on the field with a common goal, right, working together with some kind of relationship with each other, it's going to fail, right? You see this, you get to see this in soccer. I'm just going to use soccer today because that's just totally in my head and hockey's not going to happen this year. So we'll go with soccer. So on the team, you see some of the young teams where there is one standout player, right? And this is the one standout kid who can take the ball from anywhere on the field and run it all the way around every other player on the field and go score a goal, right? If you've ever watched youth soccer, you know how this works. But ultimately, that team is not going to be so very successful if they're always reliant on the one person. And if you always have people who their only goal is to get the ball so they can take the ball and go do something with the ball without giving it to anyone else, the team's not going to be successful. And so one of the big challenges always with youth soccer is trying to actually tell them you need to look for your teammates and pass the ball. Because, you know, they can move fast. You can pass the ball faster than you can run, actually, a lot of times. And that's a good thing. So working on this whole idea of actually working together as a unit. Working together in unity. As one unit on the field, moving together with the ball in order to get a common goal, right? No different in the body of Christ. We're called to live united. We're called to live in a way where each part of the body is functioning well and contributes to the overall goal that we're trying to accomplish. And really, the church, just like a team on the field does, the church needs everybody to be working together and pulling together towards the common purpose to be successful. Without that, it doesn't work. Now, it's always nice and ideal to say, and we're all going to live in this lovey-lovey community and everyone's going to be happy. Listen, unity is not easy. Unity is actually really hard. And there's a reason why it's one of the prominent themes in all of Paul's writings to the churches. It's because they didn't get it very well, right? It doesn't just happen just magically and we just sprinkle some fairy dust and all of a sudden we're all living in unity and we're all singing kumbaya together every night. It just doesn't look like that. Unity also isn't uniformity where we all look and talk and dress and say things exactly the same way. That would absolutely drive me insane. Can you imagine if everybody looked like me in our church? Seriously, that would be just really disturbing. There's a reason we're created differently. There's a reason the Holy Spirit gives gifts to people as he determines. It's because there's diversity within the body, but we can still live in unity. Not easy, because since we have differences, it makes it a little harder because you don't look exactly like me, so now I have to figure out who you are, and we have to figure out how this dynamic of relationship is going to work, and that can get ugly sometimes, because sometimes I'm not going to agree with you, and you're going to think I'm an idiot. It's going to happen. Maybe it happened to Ray this morning. Okay. But unity is not an easy thing, but it is what we're called to do. And so Paul talks about what it means to live in unity as a body, what it means to be united. And one of the things that we see in the text, which is a little bit clouded in the NIV that we read this morning, is the idea of the word united governing not just the word love in the phrase, but also what comes after it, which is understanding, talking about growing in that knowledge together. It's not just united in love, it's united in both of those things, okay? It gets a little technical, but that's basically the thing. So Paul talks about two ways we can grow in unity together as a body. One is growing in love, one is growing in our understanding of the gospel together. And so I just want to touch on both of those things just briefly. What it means to grow in love, in unity in love, and also to grow in unity in understanding. Now we know from what we read earlier in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1 verse 4 told us that Paul has heard about the love of the Colossian church, right? He's heard about the love, their faith in Christ Jesus and the love they have for all of God's people. So he has heard about the love that the Colossians have for one another. And it's a love that obviously, like we talked about a few weeks back, it's not a love that's just sort of a, you know, something that's personal and you know, just a thought that I have and I love you. It's actually expressed in action. Because otherwise, how would he have heard about it? Paul's locked up in prison somewhere. He's not with the Colossians. And yet he has heard of the love they have for all God's people. It's a love in action. So the Colossians have been expressing love. And this is a huge thing. So Paul is commending them for that and seeing them united in this love. Now love, I just want to do a little sidebar here. Just a thought for you this morning. How would you define the difference between love and tolerance? And I ask the question simply because of this. It seems in our culture, in our day, that just about everybody is screaming for everybody else to be tolerant. It's one of the highest cultural values we have, is that we tolerate one another, right? And if you don't, you're an intolerant person, and you don't really deserve any kind of consideration at all. That's a little extreme, I'll give you that. But the big cry is that we be tolerant, right? Now, here's the thing for me. When I think of what it means to be tolerant, it means that I put up with, right? So if I'm going to be tolerant of the fact that, you know, you like the Rough Riders instead of the Lions, you know, I'm going to put up with that fact. I may still not like you very much, but I'll put up with the fact that you know, maybe like a team that's not quite as good as the team I like. But I'll put up with you. Now, love, on the other hand, to me is a much higher value. Because love doesn't just say, I'm going to put up with you. It says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to seek what is best for you. I'm going to sacrifice something of myself so you can have more. That's what love is. Tolerance really doesn't cost me a whole lot. I just have to, you know, I guess not get too annoyed with what you do. Love actually calls me to invest in you. Now, you think about that then in terms of what Paul's saying. Be united in love. Love one another. Experience the love in the body of Christ. And if we have a community that is filled with love for one another, seeking what's best for each other, not just putting up with each other, but seeking what's best for each other, blessing one another, what kind of difference would that make in the world around us? And so Paul calls the church to be united in love, to be growing in love all the time. And when you think about it, if you are growing in love for each other, if we are growing and being able to experience and express love to one another, that's going to help build the unity of the body, right? How can it not? You know, if we're constantly seeking to just bless one another when we're being blessed by each other, how is that not going to build the body up in unity? So be united in love. Now, he also talks about being united in understanding. Now, again, just to back up to our team metaphor for a second. If I send the team out on the field, and this actually happens when you're coaching like U5 and U6 soccer teams, you actually get to go out on the field with them, and you stand the kids on their side of the field, and you go, okay, guys, here's the deal. We're trying to score on that goal, right? Because you know what's going to happen otherwise. And it still usually does happen at some point during the game. But to succeed as a team, you have to be on the same page of what you're trying to do. You have to know this is what we're trying to accomplish. This is how we're trying to accomplish it. You have to have a clear sense of understanding together. You have to be on the same page. In the body of Christ, Paul is calling us to grow in unity of understanding, to grow in our understanding together of the mystery of God, which is namely Christ. To grow in our knowledge and experience and understanding of him. Now, what does that look like? To me, a part of what that looks like is that we actually read the Word of God together. And by that, I don't mean you follow along on the screen as I verbally read out the words on the screen. It's not what I mean. What I mean is we actually come to the Word of God together as part of a conversation. It's not just Dave saying, here's what it says, and you going, yes, that's what it says. If you do that, I'm going to throw this at you. No, don't do that. It's meant to be a place where we come together and we are all listening for the voice of the Spirit so we can build into each other's life, right? One of my favorite things is after the service, sometimes it's in conversation, sometimes it's in emails during the week, someone sends me a little note and says, you know, I was thinking about what you said on Sunday, and here's something that I'm not totally sure about. I love that, because now we can talk about it. right? I mean, I know I get the platform every week, and for some reason you keep showing up and coming, and I don't totally get that, but that's great. But it isn't all about me just saying this stuff. It's supposed to be a conversation. Because here's the deal. God doesn't just speak to me. I don't know if you know that. He actually speaks to all of us. The voice of the Spirit speaks to each one of the body. There may be some who are called to prophesy and some who are called to teach or preach, but that doesn't mean God's not speaking to each one of us. And so it's important to be able to come to the Word and read it in communion together. And there are some great ways we can express that. We can do it through, you know, through those kinds of interactions. And there are times quite often where, you know, if someone's feeding something back to me during the week and going, you know, I wasn't too sure about this, and we're talking about it, that may come out again in another teaching time in what we're doing. There, you know, on Saturday nights, we actually dialogue during the message. Like, we actually have times where we're interacting and people have a chance to feed back. We see this in our small groups, our life groups, where people get together and they come around the Word of God, and there's someone who has a study prepared, but a lot of it's through questions and being able to just dialogue about what we're hearing in God's Word together. And we can grow together in our understanding of God's Word and of the mystery, which is namely Christ. This is something that is not meant to be one way. It's one way from God to us, fair enough. But when it comes down among the people of God, this is meant to be something that is shared around. It is something that we should be learning from together. And so Paul is encouraging us to grow in unity of our understanding, to grow in understanding this gospel together. And as we grow in understanding, as we grow in knowing Jesus together, as we've done that process together, that also helps us to grow in unity. Now, again, I'll say this. This is not necessarily an easy thing, because people come with a lot of different perspectives. They come with a lot of different questions. We all come from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different even denominational backgrounds that are represented within our church. And so it's not always easy to say, you know, well, let's just all learn this together. It doesn't mean that it's just a piece of cake. And, you know, as soon as we put an idea out there, everyone will just be going, wow, that's exactly what I heard too. That's exactly what I'm thinking too. Good luck on that. But it's exciting when we can actually bring our different viewpoints and just surrender them to the Holy Spirit, come with humility and say, God, what do you want to teach us? And listen for what he'll say. So growing in unity and understanding. So as we grow in unity through love and through understanding, you know, both of these things kind of feed back on each other, don't they? If you're growing in love for one another and the unity is being felt through that love, it's going to make it easier to grow in understanding together. And if you're starting to understand things together, it's going to make it easier to love one another. And it just kind of cycles and helps you grow in unity as a church. And that's what Paul's calling us to grow in that kind of community dynamic. And now I just want to back up for just a second, because I skipped over one of those words in verse 2. When he talked about, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart. Well, let me just say this. Being a part of a community that's united in love and united in understanding, growing in those things together, it's a whole lot easier to be encouraged in our heart than if we're not a part of one of those. It's a whole lot easier to feel the encouragement of the body when we know we're growing in love and unity together. And so I think that's to me, it's almost a byproduct of what we see as we grow in unity, in love and understanding together. Now, I just want to pause at this moment, just for a minute, and just be able to say something to you as your pastor today. And I said this last night too. It was a bit of a struggle trying to figure out how to put this together this week. Because a part of what I sense in the text is Paul's incredible heart of love for the church and how he's contending for them and how he's wanting to bless them and see them grow and be strengthened and all those things. I just want to say as your pastor that I usually don't pull out the pastor card very often, but I am extremely blessed to be able to share in this journey with you. I just want you to know that it is, it's an honor to be able to share in growing in love together as the body of Christ. and to share in growing in understanding as we come to God's word together, and to have you share parts of your life with me and with our church family, oftentimes very deep and hurting parts of your life, that you just surrender to the body to come around you and surround you with that love and compassion and grace, even though it's hard to just lay that on the table. And yet we see it time in and time out, where people are willing just to say, here's where I'm at. And we see the body be able to come around them and just wrap the arms of love around them. And you have no idea how much that blesses my heart. I'm blessed every time someone shares a prayer request with our prayer chain or with our leadership team, just to be able to invite us into that space in your life, to be able to help carry that burden for you. You have no idea how much of a blessing it is for us to be able to come alongside and carry that with you. That's huge for us. And we love that we're able to be a part of that. I'm blessed when I get to see you guys doing things together that I'm not even a part of, and I get to hear about it afterwards, where there's just cool things that you're doing to grow in love together through life groups, through different all sorts of different groups in our church. Like when the whole thing at the back happened, what Acts to Share, and just wanting to come around and be a part of our church, just interacting and sharing things around to bless one another in the body. Those things are huge. And I absolutely love being a part of a body that does that. You know, I got a really fun experience this past week. I got to go hang out with our young adults. And it was sort of one of those stump the pastor nights. So, you know, bring your big gun questions and see if you can, you know, stump Dave somehow. Which is like candy for me. I mean, that's just awesome. I love that stuff. But, you know, just seeing how God is starting to build a community within that group of students. And some from within our church, some from other churches. And it's just beautiful to see community arising out of a shared life experience right now. And they're growing in love. They're growing in understanding together. And it's just neat to see them grow as a group together. And so that was just a blessing to be there with them. But I just wanted to share that with you this morning, because I want you to know that it is really a great blessing to me to be a part of this body. And I want you to be encouraged that there are incredible signs of how we are growing united in love and united in understanding. And I just want us to keep going, because it's a great journey we're on. And I don't want us to fall off the rails somehow. Okay, that's enough of my side note. I made it through without Kleenex. I'm good. So let me just, beyond the happy feelings that Paul thinks that, you know, growing and united in love this way is going to provide, he also has a very pragmatic reason to be encouraging the church in this way. And the reason he encourages them in this is because he has a caution that in all likelihood, there are hard times ahead. There are challenges coming that are going to hit them out of left field. They're going to come as attacks from the enemy. They're going to come from attacks within the church, from outside the church. There's going to be all these things that are going to come against them. And the one he refers to, particularly in verse 4, he talks about this. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. He knows that even though right now the church is not in a bad place, they're not necessarily off to one side, they're not chasing after some crazy heresy that's taken them way outside of what to believe about Jesus or follow him, but he knows it's coming. He knows that there's challenges coming to their faith that are going to rock their world. And he doesn't want to see it that when those things come, they're going to fail in the race. He doesn't want to see it come that when they get pushed from this side or pushed from that side or knocked right down on the ground, they're not able to get back up and carry on and finish well. And so he's saying this stuff. He's saying, be a part of the body, be growing united in love, be growing united in your understanding, so that when this stuff happens, you will stand firm. Because if you don't do this other stuff, if you don't train for the race, if you don't go out and do those runs ahead of time, if you don't practice with your ball skills, when you get on the field, you're going to get squashed. He doesn't say just get together because it's fun. He doesn't just get together so you can feel all happy and lovey together. He says get together and continue to do this stuff so you will be able to finish well, because otherwise you probably won't. There's caution for this journey, because the journey of life with Jesus is not an easy one. And if we're not careful to build into our lives the things that we know are important with this, we are going to get knocked down. And Paul's big heart in all of this is what we see in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I just want to read it for you again, because it talks about just continuing on in this race. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Keep going. You could actually replace the word live. Instead of live your lives, you could use walk, because walk is not just about existence. And walk is probably more true to what's actually here. It has an ethical undertone to it. There's a quality of life. There's something actually going on that's not just existence, but it's how you live. Live your lives in a way that's honoring to God. Being strengthened, being rooted in Christ, strengthened in your faith, overflowing with thankfulness. That's the kind of life Paul wants to see them carry on in. That's the kind of life where we can truly find fulfillment and joy. That is the reason we talk about having deeper roots in Jesus. Continuing to root our lives deeply in him day after day after day, so that when the hard stuff comes, we don't fall, we keep going, and we have a great walk right to the end. Just as we wrap this up this morning, for you personally, I just want to ask, just to reflect on this in your own mind, how have you experienced the love of the body of Christ? How have you experienced the community coming around you to encourage you in a place where you're struggling and be able to lift you back up to help set you back on the road so you can begin to walk again? And how have you been a part of the body that's done that for someone else? This is why we're together. And, you know, I know we all come with different motives, different reasons for coming to church and all those kinds of things. I just want to say, I think this is God's purpose for getting us together. It's so we have a place where we can continue to encourage and strengthen one another to carry on in the journey that he's called us to day after day after day after day, so that we will arrive at the end of the journey and finish well. And that's my hope and my prayer for each one of you, that that's what you'll experience in the body of Christ. That it won't just be, you know, a place you show up just to hang out and sing a little and hear Dave ramble on for a little. But it'll be a place where we come together and live life together in a way that builds up each one of us, so that when we get to the end of this walk, we can look around and go, it's great to see you. You know, I just love seeing you here. This is awesome to be able to experience this together. That we would have grown in love and understanding and unity together. Let me just pray that for us this morning as we close our teaching time. And then we're going to respond through worship again. But let's just pray that that would be our experience as coming together as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you don't just leave us out in isolation to walk this journey alone. That you don't call us to follow Jesus and then say, okay, go do it yourself. You fill us with your Holy Spirit, and you bring us into a body with Christ as our head, so that we can encourage one another, we can receive the encouragement from each other, so that we can carry on through the hard times and the good. Always keeping forward, Lord, in our walk towards you. We just pray that that would be our experience every day going forward, that we would know the love and encouragement and strength for being part of this body of Christ that's seeking to know you more. May our lives truly be rooted in the life of Jesus, and may we know your grace in everything we do. We pray in Jesus' good name. Amen.